Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to take your Bibles and open them to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13. We're in our series, Real Change, Easter Meets Everyday Life. And ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to see our lives change, it's going to take the God of the ages to do it. Amen? Because you see, religion is our way to earn the attention of God. Religion is the man on earth trying to get into heaven. Christianity is getting the God of heaven into the man on earth. And that takes the initiative of the God creator of this universe to create that change and that transformation inside. Now, our Bible studies have been centering around this topic, real change. Easter meets everyday life. We talked about a couple weeks ago that it begins with the presence of Christ. Jesus, the resurrected Christ, appeared to those men on the road to Emmaus, and they were changed forever. You remember we talked about the group, the Club of Rome. The Club of Rome was made up of philosophers and economists and historians and thinkers of the day. And one of the rulings that intrigued me is they said this. They declared, the only way that civilization can survive is if we find a way to transform mankind from the inside. Now, these were secular thinkers trying to figure out, how do we take selfishness away? How do we correct relationships in people's lives? I can promise you they were on the right track, but I do not think they realized the only way that it can be done is that real change must come from the real God. Now, let me say this. Too many people are trying to please a false God. They believe that if they can get God's attention, there might be some hope for them, but there is no attention to get because they are hoping in the wrong God, a false God. The real God is the God of the Bible. Amen? It has been proven in His book. The prophecies that have been fulfilled, we don't have time to develop this today, but you ought to do a study on the authority of the Bible, the authority of Scripture. We have talked about that in some series that we have done. We have all those Bible studies online, and you can obtain that if you would like to do a study on why we believe the Bible to be true. Folks, everything hinges upon this book. Is this book the truth? And if it is, then we know it talks about the real God, the God of the Bible. It has been proven in His book. The Bible and Jesus, the God of the Bible, His Son Jesus Christ, He is the one who can bring real change. He is one with God. Jesus is. He proved it in the resurrection. So the resurrection can make a difference in our everyday life. It can transform us from the inside out. Now, here are some things to consider quickly as we think about our great God, the real God. And this is all under the title. Our title is that real change comes from the real God. Real change comes from the real God. Number one, God is eternal. The real God is eternal. Now, I want you to think about what you mean when you define the word God. He's eternal. If you look in our passage in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13, we find this scripture. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is His name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And He said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Now, the phrase I am in that passage means I am the cause. I cause to be, or I am the self-existing one. Is that not what the word God means? I am the self-existing existing one. Or I will be that I will be. In other words, he's saying this when he says, I am that I am. I was, I am, I will always be. See, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to be changed on the inside, not just rehabilitated from the outside, that's what mankind tries to do. Mankind tries to say we can do some things on the outside. We can have behavioral change if we put the right stimulus from the outside. We can change someone. But ladies and gentlemen, you can spend tons of money trying to rehabilitate someone from the outside, but it takes a transformation on the inside to bring lasting change. Now, in the book of John, I'm just going to give you some references, Jesus claimed to be God in the book of John. He says this in John 6:35, I am, that phrase, I am the bread of life. In John 8:12, I am the light of the world. In John 10:9, I am the door. In John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. In John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. In John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In John 15, verses 1 through 5, I am the vine. And so we see that the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ, was God's Son, and He is the I am. God, Jesus was God. And so it's going to take Jesus in our lives to bring real change. It has to come, real change has to come from the real God. Now, I want you to look in your Bibles in the book of Psalm, in the Psalms, in chapter 90. I love this verse of Scripture, verse 2. Psalms 90, verse 2, says this, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. From everlasting to everlasting. Ladies and gentlemen, you go backwards, infinity, Chuck, in reverse. God is there. Infinity to the right, in the positive way, in the timeline, God is there. From everlasting to everlasting, the psalmist says, you are God. He's the eternal God. And I promise you, if you're going to have real change, it's not going to be from some made-up God. You know, I was thinking about this phrase. It says, thou art God. That phrase emphasizes the God's kingship over creation. The God of Scripture is the one that created you, the one that created the earth. It emphasizes His kingship over creation. And listen to this, and His otherness. As much as we know that the Scripture says we were created in His image, we also know we're not God. Amen? We're not God. God is, He's the only one like Himself. When it says, thou art God, it emphasizes that from everlasting to everlasting, He was the Creator and He is different than mankind. Now, I want you to think about all the false gods that have been created. I think about the founding of Hinduism around 1500 B.C., Buddhism, 560 B.C., Taoism, 550 B.C., Islam, 610 A.D., Tibetan Buddhism, 1650 A.D., Mormonism, 1830 A.D., Baha'i, 1840 A.D., Jehovah's Witnesses, 1870, Christian Science, 1879, the Worldwide Church of God, Armstrongism, 1934, the Unification Church, 1954, Scientology, 1955, Unitarian Universalist, 1959, Transcendental Meditation, 1960, the God of Scripture, from everlasting to everlasting. If we are going to see real change, it's going to have to be from the real God, the God of Scripture. Number two, quickly, the real God offers grace. You know, a Jehovah's Witness must be baptized in that church and earn God's approval by works. The unification church, obedience and acceptance of the teachings of Sun Myung Moon. Mormonism, works-based. Islam, bottom line of Islam, you must please Allah. The God of the Bible offers you forgiveness and grace. The real God offers grace. Our favorite, or let me say this, our most familiar verse of Scripture, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Can I say this to you? The real God loves you. "For God so loved the world." That's talking about all the people of the world. "He gave His only begotten Son." What was the price of God's love? It was His only begotten Son. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the payment or propitiation for our sins." You see, ladies and gentlemen, we serve the Lord and we love the Lord and we live for the Lord, not for approval, but from approval. You see, we're freed up to live our lives for Christ and to be transformed because we have a God who was eternal, but we have a God who made a gift, a free gift of grace made and has been offered. They sang the song, "Not Guilty." Boy, I love that song. That song is powerful. "I come before the judge and he declares not guilty." I heard about a dad who told his kids, "Don't do this." And his kids did it. And so he was just broken up about having to go in there and give them a spanking. Now, he went in there and he said, "You know, a price has to be paid." And so he went in there and with a tear in his eye, he said, "Maybe I can teach this lesson." And so he took off his belt and he said to his kids, "I want you to give me a spanking." And so this child gave his dad a spanking and he wept. The boy began to cry. The dad was crying. As I thought about that, I realized what ended up happening was the dad took the punishment. The dad took the punishment for the boy. I'm not sure I ever did that one. But anyway, the dad took the punishment for the boy. You know, you think about this. Jesus took our punishment. Jesus took the sins of the world on Himself. And He offers us grace because He so loved the world that He gave His only Son. If you're trying to impress the God of the Bible with your righteousness, you'll never get there. You'll never get there. The only righteousness that God receives is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the only way you can receive that righteousness is by accepting Jesus as your personal Savior and trusting in Him to be your personal Lord and Savior. The real God is eternal. The real God offers grace. But the last thing is the real God brings victory. They're about to sing, "I Will Rise." I love that song. "I Will Rise," because the ultimate victory comes in life through the God of Scripture who has saved us and given us His grace. In John 11:25, it says this, "Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die.' Do you believe this?" The scripture says this, "If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation." So, how do we have real change? Real change has to come from the real God. That's what they were singing about. He is the God of the ages. He is the one who has declared for those who have accepted His Son, not guilty. He is the one that will cause us to rise in victory on the last day to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can transform us from the inside. You see, Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, Solomon, the king of Israel, he tried it all to make him happy. He tried wine. He tried liquor. He tried power. He tried great works. He was a builder, and he built great buildings. He tried amusement. He had his own singing group. He really did. He had his own dancers and his own singers, and basically said this: I've tried it all my way, and it's like chasing the wind. You ever chase the wind down? You ever tried to catch the wind and bottle it up? You go out here on a windy day and the breeze is going through, you see it rustling the leaves, and you go try to capture some wind and put it in a bottle. You can't do it. Solomon said, trying to change my life, trying to be happy my own way, brought me nothing but vexation of spirit, like chasing the wind. But then at the end of the book, he says, I found the secret. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Ladies and gentlemen, real change comes from the real God, the God who is eternal, the God who offers grace, the God who brings victory. November the 7th of this year is Billy Graham's 95th birthday. There's a special message he has for America. Can you believe the impact that guy continues to have at age 95? They're doing a special effort to impact America in November of this year on his 95th birthday. You know that Billy Graham had a son named Franklin who was a rebel. Matter of fact, he wrote a book called Rebel with a Cause. You know, some of y'all have a rebellious flair to you. If you just let that flair go towards God, there's no telling what God could do with you. I didn't get one amen out of that. But anyway, y'all just looking at me. Is he talking to me? But let me say this. Oh, Franklin Graham, when he was 18 years old, he tried to spite his dad. He said, oh, I read about these missionaries down in Jordan in the Middle East and how the PLO had finally set them free, and they were walking. They had no vehicle. And so on a whim, I just told my dad. Now, he's 18 years old. He said, Dad, I'll take a semester off of college if you'll buy them a Land Rover and have it delivered, and I'll drive it down to Jordan and help those people. And his dad prayed about it, and his dad said, okay, Franklin, you go down there to Jordan and do that mission work with that group. He was not even a Christian. He was not even a believer. He went down there and he watched God do miraculous things. He watched God supply needs. He watched God do great work through that group. And it began a process of him realizing he needed to be changed. And so at age 22, he gives the testimony of getting down on his knees and saying, Dear God, I know you're real and I want you to come into my life. And then he wrote that book, Rebel with a Cause. You know, truthfully, ladies and gentlemen, we're all rebels. We have rebelled against Almighty God. But can I tell you this? The only thing that makes you sweet is that the God of the ages has touched you and changed you. The God of the ages has come into your heart. Hey, what is our burden? In just a moment, we go to Bible classes. We got little kids that are in these classes, and we got preschoolers, and we got these new babies that are born. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to convince them that Christ is the one that can change their life. And they need that modeled in us, ladies and gentlemen. Our children need to know that we were rebels apart from Christ, but Jesus Christ has come in, and he's changed us. The only thing's made you sweet is that the great God of Scripture has come inside and changed you from the inside. I want us to bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.